I appreciate that song this morning. God has been good to me. And it's really good to be reminded of that. And I think it's really good for us to remember that. Because, you know, not all of our days would we chalk up as a good day, right? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever have a bad day? And so it's good to remember that God has been faithful. And that he saw us through many a bad day. And although we've had bad days, I fully believe and convinced that they could have been much worse mm-hmm. without the Lord. I have something on my heart this morning. I pray the Lord will help me to deliver it to you all and to me as well. But have any of you ever felt like quitting? Yeah. Just say, you know what, I give up. You know, the Lord is good to me in that he teaches me things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's through my experiences. But I had something happen recently and it just made me want to just give up. Just wash my hands of it. And just quit. Why do we do that? What is the appeal? Or what is it that our primary reason maybe for quitting? Human nature? I would say that if you ask somebody, well, why do you want to quit? Most of the time the answer would be, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's too hard. Yeah. And I would also say that a lot of the time that answer would be correct. That it is hard. Mm-hmm. And maybe even too hard. But, you know, I had to ask myself, in my particular situation, you know, it's like, you know, I just want to quit. I just want to wash my hands of it. But at the same time, I'm holding on to a responsibility. Right? I mean, do I really have the option of quitting? I mean, is that really a valid option? Does anybody really ever have it easy throughout their life? I mean, I know sometimes we can look at other people and think, well, they got it easy. Well, you're not living their life. You're living your life. And they have their own difficulties and their own obstacles that they have to go through and that they face. And they may be looking at you thinking you got it easy, right? And if you all talk to each other, you might argue about it a little bit, you know, who's got it harder. But I want to bring out the idea that hardness or difficulties are for everybody. That we all have those things or experiences in our lives that are difficult and hard. And you know, I have to say that our congregation is going through some hard things as a whole and just individually. Mm-hmm. And can we just quit? Can we just say, you know what, it's too hard? We could, but that's not That's not valid.
No.
We have a responsibility, but more so, to quit puts us in a much worse condition. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Anybody want to avoid hard or difficult, right? I mean, we just talked about it. It's what makes people want to quit, right? So, yeah, maybe we'd like to get away from hard. Maybe we want to avoid that. Well, you know, when I look back in my life, and like I said, I've had a lot of hard in my life. But there was a time when I was walking and living in sin and doing whatever I thought I wanted to do and thought I was living a good life, thought I was living an easy life, if you want to put it that way. I was doing whatever I wanted, right? But the wages of sin is death, and we reap what we sow, okay? And it got to a point in my life where it was time to start reaping some stuff. All right, and the reaping, the fruit that I was reaping was not good. It did not taste good. It was not good for me. And it was not a blessing. And it was hard. And I thank God that He delivered me and freed me of that. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, who washed me and cleansed me and purified me and gave me a new life and a new hope, that I had a new lease on life and the opportunity to say that slate is clean now and you can start over from here by the grace of God. And, I mean, it's just a rejoicing, right? I remember when I first got saved, it was like, thank the Lord. You know, just like a weight was lifted and I'm seeing things differently. Life is different. I'm still in the same place I was before, but somehow it's new now. It's different. It's going to be all right. But you know that hard didn't stop? You know, life without the Lord was hard. And it was getting much, much harder as time went on. The further we go into sin, the more difficult it is to us. And the reaping just gets worse and worse. But you know, a lot of times I think we think that when we get saved that God is just going to take the hard away. And that it's supposed to be easy now. Why is it still so hard? Why is it still so difficult? Why do I have to suffer this or suffer that? And I think the reality of it is that hard doesn't just go away. But for me, in my experience, the hard was different. Because when I gave my life to the Lord and I was meant to go right on like the song sang and I had it in my heart, I'm going to serve God. Yes. And there was opposition and there was difficulties, there was threats and all different types of things that made it hard. Made it difficult to continue on with that. But somehow, in the midst of it all, God was walking with me through the hard. And I look back on it, and it still amazes me today that I'm standing here, you know? Mm-hmm. And the things that the Lord orchestrated that you didn't see in the moment, you didn't see it at the time. All you were doing was making decisions for God. Decision for God. Decision for God. What am I going to do now? This is hard. I just want to quit. I just want to give in. But the options are bad or worse. You know, it's like you don't feel like you have a really great option. But I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow God. If I'm going to suffer or I'm going to be persecuted or I'm going to have negative things come into my life, I want it to be because I'm serving God. Because I'm doing what's right. or what He would have me to do. Yeah. Forget about whether it's hard. Because for us to serve the Lord, there is no other option. I think about what Jesus asked the disciples who were offended because He had said something that offended them and they couldn't get a hold of it. And they went away and He asked His disciples, He said, well, will you go away too? And their answer was, well, to where will we go? Where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. So we don't have an option. We cannot quit. We cannot give up. We cannot throw in the towel, if you will, or go back. I was thinking during prayer of the children of Israel were in Egypt, and it was hard. They were crying out to God, saying, Lord, deliver us, save us, help us. And He did. He brought them out. But the heart didn't stop. And they get out in the they get out of Egypt and hard comes and they're like, well, we want to just go back to Egypt. When we had the onions and the leeks, we were doing great. But they weren't doing great back in Egypt. That's the lie the devil tries to tell us. Yes. That if we just go back, it was so much easier back then, wasn't it? No, it was not. It was not easier. Because the hard that I was going through before was all by myself. With nothing but opposition. I didn't have the Lord to help me, to walk with me, to give me the grace that I needed to overcome the obstacles that were in front of me. I wasn't gaining anything from it. I wasn't improving from it. I wasn't getting strength from it or encouragement from it. It was just a bombardment, a weight. Let's go to Jeremiah 38. Jeremiah 38, verse 1. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying. Okay. Jeremiah spoke the word of God. And it's saying that all these people heard him say it. Okay, what did they hear him say? Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. For he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. So Jeremiah is prophesying the word of the Lord. Thank the Lord. That's not what they said. No. They didn't thank the Lord for the message. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore, the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. For thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. I think of Jeremiah, the prophet, he's just saying what the Lord gave him to say. Thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying it. Right? I'm not saying it. Don't put me in the mire. I'm not the one saying it. Thus saith the Lord. And I think of Jeremiah, and I imagine, you know, just being a human being, right? And I don't know what was going through his head, but this is hard. Mm-hmm. Anybody think that Jeremiah was maybe in a spot that it was a little bit maybe difficult? And maybe he was like, they call him back. Okay, give us the word of the Lord. Are you sure you want to hear it? Are you sure you wanted me to tell you? I thank the Lord that Jeremiah was solid and faithful. I don't think he always wanted to say it. No. And I believe there was a time when he was before Zedekiah, and Zedekiah was says, tell me. And he kind of was like, well, I don't know if you really want to hear it. But he went ahead and gave him the word of the Lord anyway. But I look at this man, and he's doing hard because of God, because of his service to the Lord, and it is hard. And I thought about how he could have maybe just decided, you know, yeah, don't surrender. God's going to deliver you. Don't worry about it. Just stay where you're at, and it'll all be fine, like many of the other prophets were doing. That's quitting. That's giving up. That's giving in. That's falling victim to the devil and his vices or whatever. But Jeremiah stood firm. He didn't recant. And when he was asked again, he could have been like, well, why are you asking me again? I've already told you, thus saith the Lord. There's going to be a captivity. Babylon will take you captive. And if you refuse to surrender, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But he didn't give up. And he didn't quit. He continued to say, thus saith the Lord. And that is my prayer for me and for you all. That when we face hard and things come against us and it gets to a point where we wonder, you know, how can I go even another step? Mm-hmm. This is more than I can bear, maybe. That we would not quit. That we would not give in. That we would not fall victim to that. Because there's hope. Let's go to Psalms 40. Psalms 40, starting at verse 1. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So when we're in that hard place, and it feels like everything is pressing in upon us, the scripture says that we can cry out unto the Lord, and he's going to hear us. And what does he do? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. I was thinking of Jeremiah in that miry pit. There was no water. Did he die in that pit? No. Thank the Lord. Because the Lord did this. He brought him up out of that miry clay and set his feet upon a rock. Jeremiah did not quit. And God was able to rescue him from that pit. And you know, Jeremiah didn't even go into captivity. But the king of Babylon said, look, you could go with me or you can stay. You're free to do whatever you want to do. The Lord delivered Jeremiah, set his feet upon a rock, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, shall trust in the Lord. The Lord can deliver us in hard, but not if we quit. I don't know if you've ever tried to help somebody to accomplish something or to do something and it was too hard for them and you're coming to help and they quit. You can't help them if they quit on you. And so the Lord, He can provide us with all that we need. He can give us the grace that we need, the strength that we need, the power that we need, the ability we need to overcome the obstacles that we face. He can give comfort and mercy. But we must not quit. We must wait upon the Lord and wait for Him to hear our cry and to come and rescue us. Psalms 37 and 25. Psalms 37 and 25. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I think back, and I always say thinking back because I know it's much more difficult to see it when you're living it. It's much more difficult when you're in the miry pit to see it. But when Jeremiah was out of the pit and he's walking about again and the king of Babylon set him loose, he can look back and think of that predicament that he was in, that difficulty that he was in, and see the hand of God and how God delivered him out of that. And I can look back at things that at the time I didn't recognize what God was doing, but the Lord was delivering me from this obstacle or delivering me from this situation or this tumultuous event that was about to happen. And the Lord, for whatever reason, had me moved and I wasn't there when it happened. And you say, well, was God really doing all that just for you? Well, I don't know, but He protected me one time after another that I would not have had that had I not been serving God. Had I not been in His hands. And I didn't always understand it. And to me, sometimes it would seem like the Lord was doing something wrong. Right? It was like, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you stirring my life up? I was doing just fine right here. He's like, no, I want you over there. And so you say, well, what do? You know, okay, Lord, I'm with you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to follow you. And then you get over there and you look back and you're like, whoa. Thank the Lord that I missed that. But we got to stay in His hands and we got to allow Him to direct our lives. He says that the righteous, He's not seen them forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. First Samuel 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, I think it's verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. I'm going to tell you that again. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. If you're one of His people, that's you. He's not going to forsake you. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. And so He's pleased to have you as part of his family, as his son or his daughter. And he's not going to forsake you. And I know that sometimes we go through life and that becomes a question in our minds. Is the Lord forsaken me? Because this is hard. This is difficult. I don't know how I can go on in this. But remember that God is not forsaking you, but that he's right there with you. But I want to read another scripture to us. 2 Chronicles 15. 2 Chronicles 15 and 2. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, a lot of times I hear people talk about the Lord will never leave you, he'll never forsake you, and he won't. But right here it says, while you be with him. If you quit, he can't help you. If you get out and go off, you're out from under his umbrella of protection. You're putting him you're going out in a way. Your protection and your deliverance is not out there. It's under the umbrella of his protection. And so he's saying that he won't leave you or forsake you as long as you don't leave him and forsake him. Stay in it. Stay with me. Stick with me in this. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me be your strength. Let me be your deliverer, your savior. Just wait on me. And I'll come and I'll rescue you. Seek my face. Cry out to me. Pour out your heart to me. Let me help you. Because in that pouring our hearts out, and in that experience of feeling that we're at our wit's end, that we don't know how we could go any further, our relationship with God and our crying out to him becomes so close. And so intimate, and so personal. It's a way of us drawing in to the Lord and gaining in our spiritual relationship with him. And so he doesn't want us to quit on it, because our blessing is just around the corner, or our deliverance is just around the corner. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4 and 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. I was thinking about this passage and how the wind was whistling and the waves were crashing and their boats taking on water. And it just seems like it's a dire situation. And I imagine myself being in something like that. And what do you think my thought process would be, and what did we do here? I don't know. For me, I imagine thinking, I'm getting out of this boat. This boat's about to sink, and I'm getting out of here. What if they had done that? And then Jesus speaks, Peace be still, and now you're in the water. You jump. At that point, which way would you rather be? Would you rather be in the boat or in the water? After he says, peace be still. And so the point I'm trying to make is that we have to stay in the boat. We have to stay in it. And when he speaks, peace be still, then we're in the place of safety still. But if we go about and start to do our own thing and get outside of that boat, then when he says, peace be still, we're in trouble. Yeah. And needing deliverance out of the water. We can't give up and we can't give in. We can't lose faith in God. But we stay with him and we trust him and expect a blessing or expect a good end. Acts chapter 27. So this is basically the story of Paul, and he's a prisoner, and they're taking ship to Rome. They're headed to Rome for him to go before Caesar Augustus, I believe it was. And Paul tried to tell him, look, don't go. Don't set off from here. Let's just stay here and wait. There's going to be a bad storm. They didn't believe him, and they went anyway. And sure enough, a storm hit, and they were in desperate straits, and they were about to lose everything. And so Paul tells them, you know, the Lord has told me that he's given you all to me. In other words, Paul had been praying for them, and the Lord had given him a promise that none of them would be lost. And so they started listening to Paul a little bit, okay? And it's an amazing story in that the prisoner was basically telling them how to conduct their operation. But verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers. Okay, so to back up a little bit, there were some of the seafaring men that they set the anchor down. And what do you think they were getting ready to do? But we're getting out of this ship. We're setting the anchor down. We got these little paddle boats that we're going to get on these paddle boats, and we're headed to shore, right? We're saving ourselves. And so they secretly go over to the edge of the boat, and they act like they're working, and they're untying this. I don't know if it was a canoe or some sort of John boat or whatever it was, but they were going to get in that boat, and they were going to leave. And Paul said in verse 31 to the centurion and to the soldiers who were about to be left behind, by the way, those seafaring men were about to leave him in the boat, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. He said, you know, if they don't stay in the boat, or if they don't stay in this ship, you can't be saved. And I think about that, and that the Lord is saying that we have to stay in. If we want to be saved, if we want to be delivered, then we got to stay with him and allow him to help us. And what I love about this is they cut the boat loose. That little safety boat or whatever you want to call it, they just cut it loose. And that's just like a reckless resolve that I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to give myself completely and totally to him. There's no second options. There's no plan Bs. It's just God. And he's going to come through. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that ye may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait for him. In returning in rest shall ye be saved. You know, when we get the temptation to just abandon ship, or we get the temptation from the devil that, you know, the Lord has just forsaken you. He's not looking out for you. He's not protecting you. He's not keeping you. And he starts getting you thinking that you just want to flee and you want to just abandon ship. The Lord is saying that in quietness and in confidence, you just trust the Lord in quietness and in confidence, and he will see you to the end. He will be your Savior and your deliverer in whatever it is that you're facing, as you're in him. Or should I say, as long as we are not forsaking him or going about our own way of doing things in life. Psalms 121:1. Psalms 121:1-2. I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know, if we can just wait on the Lord, and I know sometimes that is one of the most difficult things that we could ever do in life, is to wait on God. And I know another thing that we have difficulty in, and being able to see the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the deliverance of God, is because we have in our own mind's eye what he ought to do, or how things ought to happen, or what should happen. Like I was saying earlier, the Lord is saying, you're moving, and I'm thinking, why? I don't want to move. I like it where I'm at. But that's where the deliverance was. And so if we got to get out of our own ideas about how we think everything ought to happen and get in line with what God knows needs to happen. Because ultimately, our 100 or 120, if you want to live a really long time on this earth, is very short time frame. It's very short-minded. There's a future and a hope well beyond all of that, well beyond all of this. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Whatever happens in this present time, in these years that we live on earth, it's nothing compared to eternity, for sure. And that is the hope that God has, is for us to be with him forever. And so whatever it takes, sometimes, you know, I remember looking back and praying and thinking, Lord, is this really what it took to get my attention? Was I really that hard-headed, that stubborn, that difficult, that it took all this? But I'm thankful that God is willing to allow some hard things for me to make it with him forever. Because I would certainly be willing to trade a few days for an eternity with God. I heard one of the Sunday school verses. Appreciate the children memorizing those verses. And actually, I think Sister Marsha also gave the verse. Hebrews 4:16. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord help us when we feel like we're in a hard place and it seems like it's all pressing in upon us and we're not sure how we're going to make it the next day or the next step or how we can pursue or continue to serve God under these conditions maybe. May the Lord help us to go to the throne of grace with boldness. And it's not in an accusatory way, but it says, Lord, your word says that you'll not leave us nor forsake us. That you love us, that you're pleased to have us as your children. And that you would come to our rescue when we had need of you, Lord. That we could look into the hills from which comes our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Your word says it, and I believe it. You're a God of your word, and that you do what you say you're going to do. And so we can come to God with that confidence and that faith and that belief in knowing that he's going to do what he said he would do. And he's given us many, many promises of his deliverance and his salvation and how he can give us grace to help in time of need. Here we have another scripture. Find grace to help in time of need. Lord, I need your grace. I need your power and your spirit to give me strength and ability. I need your courage and your comfort. I need you, Lord, to see me through this time. And I believe that we have an opportunity to come before God like that. And that he hears our cries and comes to our rescue. So no matter how hard life may seem to you or to me, or how difficult the future maybe looks, we don't have to be worried. And we don't have to fret. Because God is our strength. And he will see us through the hard. I thank God for his faithfulness to me. And I know that he's being faithful to you. May the Lord help us all to continue to stand in faith and trust that the Lord will deliver us and see us through the hard times. Because when we look back on it and we see the deliverance of God, it's going to be a powerful testimony to you and to I that the Lord was with us every step of the way. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. Pray for me.